first book of Psalms, chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 3, I'm going to tell you how to have success this year. How to have success in every area of your life. Hallelujah. How many of you want to have success? Well, we got 7. That's good. Everybody's gaining. We want to welcome everybody watching online. Thank you for joining with us. Thank you for your donations and your giving and your prayers. We really covered your prayers. What if you were told, if someone told you that this year, whatever you decide to do, whatever plans you have, you would never fail? And that would be a wonderful thing to have. Wonderful promise. You know, that's a promise that God has given every one of His people. How to have success. Not in just one area, but in every area of life, God wants us to succeed. He said, I'll never fail you. I'll never abandon you. And this is God talking to each one of us. If He said, from this day forward, this year, 2023, and every other year subsequent to this time, you will always experience success. That's a happy time, isn't it? And God has said that to every one of His children. What God said to the patriarchs, what God said to Abraham, what He said to David, what He said to all the kings, what He said through Moses, what He said to the apostles, He said the same thing to us. What He said to Israel as a nation, He's telling the church the same thing. Let's go to the book of Psalm chapter 1, 1 to 3. I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, oh, the joys. Well, that's happy time, right? Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners. Well, we can't take advice or counsel from people when we're making plans, getting advice from the wrong people. Eventually, it might give you some sort of success if you're doing some kind of conniving and wiggling around. You'll have some kind of success for a short time. You can't take the advice or follow their ways. Stand around with sinners. That's fellowship with people. The wrong crowd. Join in there with mockers. People who are always complaining. Anybody complaining here? Is any mockers around here? Any wicked people? There's none here. I know of none here. Verse 2 says, but they delight in the law of the Lord. How many of you like to, you really delight in the Word of God? You can't wait for the book to be opened up here when we open the Bible. You're just excited about the Bible. Amen. You're not, you know, you thank God for the moving of the Spirit. But you know the Word of God will move outside this church. Amen. You don't have to wait for some kind of move or some kind of prophecy. You can prophesy over yourself. You can begin to motivate yourself. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. Meditating on it day and night, that means you're thinking about the Word of God before everything else. You're putting the Word of God first in every decision you make. Hallelujah, in your marriage, in your work, in everything you do with people. Does this please God? Would God be pleased with me treating someone like this or doing this on someone behind their back or whatever, talking about them or gossiping in any way or making them look smaller? So that's not the way God wants us to be. Verse 3 says, they are like trees. The Bible says you're like trees. You're fruitful people, productive people. You're like trees planted along the riverbank. What happens to those trees? Well, they bear fruit at each season. In other words, you're gonna bear fruit at the right time, you know, in the right moment. You're going to be robust. Their leaves will not wither. You're not going to just quit halfway. You're going to be fresh. Hallelujah. You know, if you study about the trees that's planted by the river banks, you're going to get excited because they're luscious, strong. You know, they talk about in there, you're like a palm tree. Palm tree has certain characteristics about they live long and they thrive even in hot weather, but scorching heat, they'll still be there and green. I mean, you know, we need to see this. They'll bear fruit in each season. Their leaves will never wither. I like that success, and I'll always have success. I will always have success. I'll be successful. Everything I decide to do, I will never fail it. That's what the Lord told me in 1985. He said, anything you plan to do, you will be successful at it. Then he proceeded to give me scripture after scripture after scripture. And still, they will prosper in all they do. The word prosper can also be determined as successful, have success in everything you do. In all they do, not just some things, but everything. What God told me, here's what God told me in the spring of 1985. And God says to me, spoke to me, he said, you know, you're a success. And at first I didn't know what God was talking about or what he meant by it. I didn't understand it because I sure wasn't successful in my own determination and my own efforts and what I saw, the kind of production I had up until that time in my life. I was brand new to the kingdom of God, relatively new. I was born again earlier, but I really didn't really prosper until I come to a good church and a good pastor. And it's good to come to a good church and a good pastor and sit under that pastor. Amen. And grow, and develop, and learn. And learn to, you know, learn to take instruction. You need instruction. Who else is going to tell you what to do? I mean, you come here to get instruction. You, so to speak, you pay me to tell you what to do. How to treat your wife. How to treat your children. How to run your business. Because God says to do it. You know, when you listen to me, you listen to God. No, I didn't say it was God. I just said, I just represent God in your life. And when you don't listen to your husband, and he's head of the house, you know, God put a man as the head of the home. Oh, well, we're getting in trouble now. Right? That's how God made it. Unless he decides to relinquish his obligation, give it to his wife, like I've done many times and I still do. Amen, because she's better at some things. Some of you guys better relinquish some of those things to your wife because they're a whole lot better at it, especially like cooking and stuff. and running the house and running the money. You know, if it was me, I'd give all the money away. I'd be sowing everything. But my wife has to restrain me and tell me, hey, listen, dummy, you have to pay bills too. You shouldn't say dummy. But I added that in because I felt like that. I'm sure you do too. So I later discovered what God had meant when he said, you're a success. God spoke to me, literally spoke to me. One morning, I woke up and, when he said that, over the next few years, as God led me through a series of events, I was a struggling college, a university student, had financial troubles, I had a failed marriage, I was in emotional distress, very dim life, very dim future of my life, didn't have a very good self-image, I failed over the years, I look at all the relationships I had, I failed every one of my relationships, I'd been in jail, in and out of jail, I'd been incarcerated. I was in and out of homes and different things. I struggled with my life emotionally. I didn't know how to handle my emotions. I didn't know how to handle who I was. And if I had something good, I usually just end up destroying it because I didn't know how to handle my life. Is there anybody like that? I used to be like that here. All three of you. So I was very, very low, and I sure didn't look like ministry product. I sure didn't look like somebody who could do anything in life. And people reminded me how bad I was. And even after I went on, people, even in ministry, ministers, other ministries told me that I was unqualified. I couldn't do anything. But God knows better. Why would God call me in the ministry? He's not crazy. Why would he call me in ministry if he knew all of my mistakes? Doesn't he know all that stuff? Why did he visit me in such spectacular ways earlier? And so I had to, you know, that's why God visited me, because I needed him to show me that there's a future for me. And so let me just carry on here with some of the stuff. When God spoke to me about through this amazing scripture, Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, I was uplifted, and it really amazed me because I didn't know what that meant, but I still wanted what he said. You might not always understand everything at the moment. You have success in your hand, but you don't look like a success right now. I want to share with you scriptures God gave me through the tough roads that I experienced that was ahead of me during that time. My mother died in 1989. I struggled with that because I loved my mother. And we were just having our first child, and I just didn't know how to handle that. That was a tough one for me because my mom and I were very close. How many of you were close to your mother? Some of you were close to your mom. 1/3 of you are close to your mom. I wish you would experience what your mom was like, because your mom is one of the most beautiful things. When my mom died, Thunder Bay was not the same anymore. Life was not the same after my mom left this earth. Anywhere I went, if I went to Vancouver, if I went in the States or traveled somewhere, I always picked up the phone and called mom before I went to bed at night. Told her what my day was like. And when I went to school, come back, I told her what my day was like. When I left my house and come back home, the last thing I did was go see my mom laying in bed, and she talked to me. I tell her what my day was like. Very close to my mom. I was mama's boy. And she used to call me by my nickname. And she had the authority to do that. But you can't. And so she was able to help me through different things. So in my travels, I always shared that with whatever success I had or whatever, and I wanted her to be there to share that with me. One time in my church, the very first church I ever went to was a faith church. After I decided to go to church, when the Lord spoke to me, I went and found a church. Now, there were other beautiful churches, big churches, got good music. They had nice furniture and nice, beautiful-looking people in there. I went to different churches, and I knew in my heart this was not for me, but I came to one church that wouldn't match some of the things that people look for. When I went in there, God spoke to me immediately. Immediately, I knew I was home. This church was services was in a hotel. Who would ever guess? You know, I grew up in a church that had a steeple, and they had hard chairs and so on. I didn't understand about that then. But the first thing that God talked to me, he gave me a scripture verse, because I'd been a failure at being a Christian. Anybody ever been a failure at being a Christian? I have many, many times over the years. And I didn't have a very good first chance at becoming a Christian. And I thought when I became a Christian, I looked back at my life and said, wow, was I ever a success? But my pastor reminded me that I wasn't. He told me I was so unstable. And when I met my wife, I was so, you know, full of a really low image of myself. Couldn't function, didn't know how to handle a nice, beautiful woman. When you're in love with a beautiful woman... It's hard. Beautiful woman. Well, my dad, you know, when I took my wife, well, she was my wife, she came home with me. I don't know why she did, but she came visit my house with me one night. My dad saw her, and she came in, and she went out and back home, and she hadn't been there for a few days. My dad says to me, where's that woman that you brought her? I said, which one? The one with the blue eyes. You need to be with her. You know, she gave, but every other woman I brought home, he said, no, don't come back here. We tell those other girls. He said, don't come back here because I don't want you with my son. I'm 20 years old. So my mom was my dad was bossy. But he helped me out, picked my bride, just like in the Bible. Some of you, if you want me to pick your bride, I'll pick them for you. So some of your spiritual dad. So one time my pastor shared from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, this change totally changed my life. And those scripture verses became a part of my life. In my mind, success was only limited. When I was in church, it was limited only to church activity. Not other things like finances and career. And even other things like physical goals. I never thought about it that way, but my mind began to open up when it came to success. And God told Joshua to meditate on his word, and that would cause success to come into his life and all the affairs of his life. That's a very word from God to you tonight. He said over here, let's go ahead and read Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. He says, be strong and very courageous. You're being strong in the Lord. You're not being strong emotionally. He didn't talk about emotions. He talked about being strong in the Lord. And he says, be courageous. Courage means you're going to do something no matter if you're afraid of it, you're still going to run at it. Even things that are going to frighten you, you're going to still do it. He said in there, be careful to obey. Be careful to obey all my instructions. And some people are not careful. Moses gave you, do not deviate from them, turning either to the right hand or to the left hand. Then you'll be successful in everything you do. That's a promise from God. Now, these promises are generational. I look at these people's lives, and a lot of these people failed in many, many ways, just like you and me. And they went on to become very successful in the things of God. Over here, let's go ahead and read Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, New Living. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, here's this young man named Joshua. He became an assistant. In other words, a ministry helps person, someone who's helping somebody else in their ministry. You know, when you're under somebody, that anointing comes on you. That's why I look for a ministry that I could stick to, and whatever happens to them is going to happen to me. That's real principle in the Bible. Moses, my servant, is now dead. Yeah, you know, things are dead in the past. Don't look after dead things. Therefore, time has come. Everybody said, time has come. You lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River to the land that I'm giving them. God spoke to Joshua after Moses had passed away, and he was to lead the people of Israel to the promised land. The promised land is all that God promised you and me in the Bible, all the promises that are contained in there. That's the promised land. Now he's the leader that others would love to look, other people are looking up to from then on. But he had a good mentor. He had good training under the tutelage of Moses over the years. And he saw him do things, leading the people, doing things for God, walking close with God. And this Moses was a man of integrity, and he followed him very closely. This is what he said to Joshua, verse 3, New Living Translation, Joshua chapter 1. He said, I promise you, that's strong. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on the land that I've given you. In other words, whatever is up to you, wherever you put your feet, I'm giving that to you. Now this baton is passed on from Moses' generation to the Joshua generation. We see that one generation is a blessing is passed on, the success of a mark of success is passed on from one generation to another generation. Under the same God, the same promises, perhaps, you know, of course, different people, His word, but His word remains the same, His promises is the same from generation to generation. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 says, no one will be able to stand against you. There's no devil big enough to stop you. You have complete authority over every demonic force. You have the power to bind and power to command the devil to leave you alone. And the only thing that's stopping you is you alone. As long as you live, he said, I will be with you. As I was with Moses, I will not fail you or abandon you. I know sometimes you feel like you're failing. And sometimes you might feel like you're being abandoned, but you're not. That's only feelings. You have to tell yourself whatever you're feeling when it comes to those kind of things. This is an emotional situation I'm in or not, because my mind is not right. I have to focus on the right thing, and then my feelings will change. Every time you go through a hard time, feelings don't stay the same. It's what you're focusing on keeps you in a rut. Are you still here? All right. He says that these promises are generational, so we must follow the pattern. The spiritual laws remain the same or firm to us today, too. Let's take a look at our successes, or take our successes and be bold and be strong and courageous, for our God is with us. He'll never abandon us. He says in verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one you will lead these people to possess the land as I swore to their ancestors. This is the same God. This God is the same God. He's our God. And I was reading the five chapters today, book of Romans. I was reading, studying the last couple of days, studying those chapters. And last night I was reading about Jacob and Israel. And, you know, he's the same guy, Jacob and Israel. But I was reading these things. Like, God says, I promise to be with you always. I'll never leave you. And you will be successful, and no one will touch you. So, he said, I swore this to their ancestors. Verse 6. At the end of his life, we see Joshua say this about God and all that he did, God did for him. He said, not one promise was left unfulfilled. God never left him. He won all his battles. He did amazing things as a person and as a leader. We are all of us are leaders in our own right. We all are leaders in some kind of way. We lead our homes. We lead, you know, different ones. Hopefully, we can see ourselves as leaders. We believe that everyone here is a leader. We are all leaders. So we are all good. Our examples of God's goodness. When someone looks at us, they see God's blessing on us. He will do the same for us as he did for them. He is the same God as he was with Moses and Joshua. His very words to Joshua that came out of, you know, Joshua, Moses' mouth is the same word that belongs to you and me. And here's what he said at the end of his life to the people there that he led. Joshua 23, verse 14, I'm reading the New Living. He says, soon I will die. I'm going the way of everything on the earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. Over in Corinthians, it says, you know, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Find a promise from God. Hang on to it. Read it. Look at it. Talk to yourself about it day and night, continually. Hallelujah. What did God tell him? God said he would be with him as he was with Moses. No one would be able to stand against him. He would have success if he meditated on the word day and night. Why do we fail in the first place? The question remains for people, how can I have success and why did I fail in the first place? Let's talk about that since we will spend some time focusing on this former question, why did people fail? With God, all things are possible, the scripture says. And consequently, all things are possible for, impossible without God. There's some things that you can't do without God. You need Him. Make sure you participate and invite God in your life. Right? I asked the Lord, like, why did you let that woodpecker beat my house up? I said, the other day, he's eating again. I said, I went out there, ran outside with my gun. I had a BB gun, you know. We're not going to have this on ours, are we? So anyway. So you can have relative success without God to a certain degree. But the real success comes really when you follow Him and you walk with God. Like if you're success in God, you'll never be afraid to ever fall or to lose anything. You know, Dr. Yonggi Chung, the largest church in the world, he says, if you take everything away from me, put me somewhere, I'll have the same thing in no time. Because success is not found in things over there. He said, success is found inside here. You got to have it in your heart. It has to be here. And it comes by meditating on the Word of God. No one can steal that from you. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and he made some very revelating statements regarding success. Let's have a look at the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 28 chapter, there's mention of curses and blessings. Did you notice that? And under the curse section, it says, in verse 28, chapter 28, verse 15, I'm reading the New Living. And if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and not obey His commandments and decrees that I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overwhelm you. Well, that doesn't sound good. We don't want that. We want to obey God. Furthermore, it specifically says in verse 19, wherever you go and whatever you do, you'll be cursed. That's because if you're disobeying, it's not going to work out in the end without if you don't have God in there. You know, you could have all the success for a while, but it come around one day, and all of a sudden it could be gone in a very short time without God. How are you going to build that up? Because you did it. And if God brought you in to do something, no one can take it away from you because God brought you there. That's good, isn't it? You know, you can't be afraid if God brought you somewhere. So, it doesn't sound good, this whole idea here of these curses or remotely having any kind of success. We all want success in life, no matter what we are, what we're doing. We want the best to happen in all our circumstances. We need to take heed as quickly as possible to experience all these successes in our lives, no matter what we're doing. Notice further what it says under the curse of the law, and remember what God told Joshua. And we must remember to all the law, you know, if we practice it, we recognize about the law of God, the Word of God, we'll enjoy success. Deuteronomy 28, verse 20, the Lord said Himself will send on you curses, confusion, frustration, and everything you do. That doesn't sound good. Until at last you are completely destroyed for doing evil and abandoning me. He's talking about Israel who ran away, who left God. They had the law. They had the word. For years, God, they were given the responsibility for the whole world. To tell the whole world, every nation in the world, about there is a God in heaven. And God says, if you read the book of Romans, that there's people who obey God. They never had the law, but they trust their conscience, their spirit. They knew that when something was wrong, they followed their conscience. And God talked to the Romans. He said to him, these people are obeying God, and they don't even know God. They follow their spirits, and they're right, and God sees them. You know, the ancestors who've passed on, who've never heard the word of God, they are obeyed. They've obeyed their spirit, and God, you know, it says in Romans, where there's no law, there's no sin. There's nothing to break. The law was introduced to us to show us how the condition we are in without God. And that's why the law was given. In fact, you know, the circumcision was a sign that but that Abraham already believed God, that he was righteous because he believed God. And so he had the sign of circumcision. Circumcision didn't make him righteous. Amen. Just like, you know, we talk about tithing. Tithing, you don't have to tithe. Not if you want to have God in your life in that area. You can just go ahead and have success on your own. But if you want God in your area and when you get attacked, God says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer for you because he's attacking you. I'm going to see to it that I have a whole new out in my house. Those woodpeckers are getting it. So anyway, you don't know where the woodpeckers are. Forget it. So the book of law, if we abandon the, you know, James says, he calls the book of law, the scriptures. He said, but whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty, that's James 1:25, and continued therein, it's all the same thing what Joshua says. Keep looking into the law continually, asking God, asking him, you know, God, do you want me to do this? I think a lot of people are doing stuff that God never told them because they're doing certain things in order to gain some kind of respect from other people around them. I didn't go into the ministry to gain respect. I tried to run away from the ministry. You know, and, you know, it's important that we follow God. It didn't mean you're never going to have any trials. We're all going to have trials. As long as we live in this world, we'll always have trials. But God promised you, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to stick with you. I like for God to stick with me. We all want security, don't we? It says, verse 66, Deuteronomy 28, 66, your life will constantly hang in the balance. Well, I don't want uncertainty. Am I going to fail this thing? Am I going to accomplish my goal? Am I going to get the money I want? Well, if you're with God, you will. It's not a, you know, maybe or percentage. No, when you're walking with God, God tells you something. You know, I'm so blessed. You know, the other day I got depressed for a little while. I was looking at the wrong thing and I was wondering why am I feeling the way I'm doing? Like, you have to watch yourself no matter how far you think you're in with God. Because all of a sudden you can feel something, oppression or whatever, and you feel don't feel right. You don't feel right. If you start taking on the pain of other people and you start taking on, burdens and stuff and you start carrying these things unknowingly, then you don't feel good. And the Lord said to me, chill out, relax. Didn't you ask me to take all these things before? I didn't take them back. Did you take them back? I said, no, you better take them. You know, it's when we start, I realize this about stress. If you can handle worry, oops, because worry, there's a hill here. Worry opens the door to fear and anxiety. If you learn how to control worry, you won't have fear controlling your life. I don't have any fear controlling me. I don't have anxieties. I quit having anxiety attacks. I don't have them anymore. The devil, he will try to come. I could see him coming. I said, no, I'm not having that. I don't have those anymore. And when I get up at night and he speaks to me and I talk to him pretty good too, I said, you know, I fear nothing. Not even dying. You know? Well, if I die, I'm going to heaven. Amen. That's wonderful over there. My cousin went to heaven last week. Marla Wesley, he went to heaven. He got tired of hanging around here. You know? And so, thank God. You know, we want success in life. Hallelujah. Every one of the people that I know in the Bible had success. We don't want to be uncertain about our lives. We want to have certainty. Psychology tells us that everybody wants success. Everybody wants to achieve. You know, I was looking at the word success itself. It means accomplishment of an aim or a purpose. Everybody wants, you know, I was reading psychology, I was teaching, I taught that in school, and I taught about, you know, how to have success in life with career and have some kind of ambition. And everybody that I know, that they want to feel important. They want to have purpose in life. They want to have meaning to people and things and whatever they want to have. They want to achieve something. Hallelujah. It means attainment. You know, people run after fame, you know. Be famous for the right reason, right? I put out a picture of all the guys that hang around in our old place called Suckle Creek. I just put a picture there of all of us. Now we're all old now, but we used to actually be pretty good looking guys, barring a few people. Anyway, you know, we put the Notorious Suckle Creek Gang. You know what notorious mean, right? Notorious. But we want to be known for doing something good. And so I've looked at that, and now I taught for almost 20 years at the college. We taught kids, you know, when they come to our classes, when they come to school, I want to teach you how to be successful. And a lot of the students over the years called me back and told me how grateful they are and how we impacted their life and changed their lives. They still tell us today how that impacted. In fact, the kids that went to church here, 25 years later, 30 years later, or 15 years later, they tell us, you know, my grandma brought me here, and, you know, I thank God, you know, thank God for what I learned here. You know, so people move on. They move on to different cities. So, you know, the Bible says there's a young man by the name of Uzziah. 2 Chronicles 26, 1 to 5, I'll give you a couple more scriptures here. The people of Judah had crowned Amaziah, 16 years old, son Uzziah. Everybody say Uzziah. How would you like to have that name, Uzziah? That's a good name. Maybe you can have that name. No? What's your name, Uzziah? As king in the place of his father, and his father's, after his father's death, Uzziah rebuilt the town of Elath and restored it to Judah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jecoliah from Jerusalem, and he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. Uzziah sought God in the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God, and as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. He put God first. He didn't say, I'm king now and do what I want. No, he put him first. And every one of us, if we're going to have success, this is the pattern. Read all these things. He said in there, he sought God. He prayed. He prayed for God to that he would follow God. He prayed for guidance, and he was taught by someone who knew God. Right? So we need to be with somebody who knows God already. It's easier. Why reinvent the wheel when the wheel is already invented? Somebody knows how to get there quicker than you. You know, there's people have taken trips on places we've never been to, and if we want to go there, they'll show you how to get there quicker, better, avoid problems, and so on. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 18:14, David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. With him. We got to know if God, is God in this what I'm doing? Does God want me to do this? I've talked to different ones who started churches. A number of people, pastors and ministers who started churches in this city. They think, okay, we're going to just start this church here, and we're going to just have great success. And other people brought them to me and said, this person, he's going to take the city. It was like that on and on and on for a number of years. And found out after a while, it ain't that easy. And some quit because they didn't have any money. So they went to work full time. Pastor Hagin told us, if you're running out of money, you need to go to work. Do everything you can to get the ministry going, because if you know you're called, stay there. Some people didn't know they're called in the first place. They said they're called, but It showed they didn't know they were called. I want to ask that person who quit. He told me. One guy told me God appeared to him. Jesus appeared to him, told him to be in the ministry. I wonder why he quit. You know? Maybe he disobeyed God. Over and over. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. How many of you know that obedience is the key? The very first place you learn to follow God is in your home. The very first place you learn to follow God is following your dad and your mom. And some people never had a good relationship with their dad. And somebody else, God brought somebody else to you, and you never had a relationship with them either, didn't have a good relationship with them, so you went to someone else, and you still never had a good relationship, and you're still struggling. Obedience is important. I have to obey my wife. She has to obey me. I don't boss my wife around. We have disagreement according to Scripture. Now, people are afraid. They look at Ephesians and think, I don't want to submit to. No, we all submit to each other. When you work, the Bible says, oh, children obey in the Lord. Let's go ahead and read it. I'll show you something more. We'll close with this scripture. You want to have success. People say, I want to have success. Oh, yeah, okay. Obey your parents. Are parents real people? They didn't know you. They know you. Right? A lot of people like to just, let's have a relationship. I don't know. You don't know me. Let me get to tell you who I am. No, let's follow you for a little bit. We'll follow who you are. Liar. quitter. You want to quit. You follow a little bit. Then you, as soon as tough time comes, right? No. Follow God. If God's, He never abandoned you. I might have abandoned you at times, but God will never abandon you. Not if I understand it. I'll never abandon you if I understand it. I've never abandoned you. I've been here for how many years? And a lot of you have abandoned me. I didn't quit because you went away. If you go away 6 months, you'll still see me here. Some of you gone away for 18 years. I'm still here. Some of you gone 20 years. I'm still here. Where you been? Right? So I've made a commitment to God. If nobody else around me doesn't obey God, I'll still obey God. I told my wife, this is our confession. If you don't follow God, I'll still go to church. I'll still be in ministry. If you turn away from God, I'll still be here. That's our commitment. That's our dedication. That's not our faith speaking. This is our dedication. Just like the children of Hebrew children, the three Hebrew children, he says, Nebuchadnezzar, we will not bow down to your God. Our God will save us. That's their faith. I'm not doing it. And if our God doesn't obey, rescue us, we will still not obey you. Right? So that's their faith. They believe God will rescue them. If they're thrown in there, they believe God will rescue them. But their commitment was, even if he didn't, I'm still not going to obey you. I'm obeying God. So you have to be the same way. God called me long before I had a wife. God called me long before I had a child. So I shouldn't be diverted because of my wife or my children or anything else or money. God never called me and promised me a lot of money. He just said, be in the ministry. I'm going to take care of you. Whether you have few people or a lot of people, I'm calling you. That's success. You know, people equate success in different ways. You're looking at somebody who succeeded. Now I lost 25 pounds. I think about November. I said, okay, I'm want to lose. I want to be 185 at Christmas time. I'm 185 pounds. I'm 184 at some time. I'm losing weight. Amen. That's success, isn't it? Okay, so we did the Holy Ghost diet. I'm serious. I looked at all the diets and I said, okay, Holy Ghost diet is the best. Mm-hmm. But when I lost weight, I got weaker. I noticed that. But I'm getting stronger because I'm losing all the fat. You know, they say if you lose weight, you get shorter too. So some of you, if you lose weight, you'll be 2 inches younger. Let's get it kidding to finish this, okay? I realize the Boston Bruins are playing, but I'm going to be there in my house watching. So if you want to come, you come. Children, obey your parents in the Lord because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. People say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, no, it's the right thing to do. You didn't say if you feel good. No, it's the right thing to do. Honor your father and your mother. That's to value, highly, highly esteem your parents. Not if they, you gotta value your parent in the Lord. Not because they, you know, I'm not going to do it because, you know, they weren't that good. No, God says honor them. What's going to happen if you do? He says, this is the first command with a promise. We want the promise. We want the success. But we won't do the honoring and we won't do the obeying. When you disobey your parent, you disobey God. When you disobey me as a pastor, you're disobeying God. When you disobey your wife, you're disobeying God. When you disobey your husband, you're disobeying God. Now, listen, you got to take this with instructional understanding in the scripture. You don't stay in relationships where you're abused physically. No. You can go. If you're getting beaten and somebody is beating you, telling you you're no good, you're just verbally abusing you. No, you don't have to stay there. Yeah. And if you're like that at work and they're telling you that at work, you say, you ever heard the song, Take This Job? I won't find another job. He said, that singer said, if I had the gumption, I would say that, but I don't. Right? You know what that song is? How many of you heard that song before? Somebody's going to Google it after. When you go home, take this job and claim it. You know, authority is passed down. The promise is passed down from generation to generation and right down, and you obey and you follow God and you do all that stuff. And you say, you know, okay, I'm going to follow God, but I'm not going to follow you, honey. You know, your work, whatever it is, like, you know, God put people in your life for your own good. God put a speed limit on a highway for your own good. When he said to drive on the right-hand side, drive on the right-hand side. If he says stop, you stop. Right? If he says, you know, speed up, speed up. It doesn't tell you, right? Speed up ahead. It just tells you to slow down. There's curves ahead. Don't drive fast around curves. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. So authority, like, you know, we talk about authority and stuff. You know, God puts people in our lives. If we want to be successful, we gotta learn how to obey God through the people he's given us. As well. I know that it's getting late. And time has been far spent. Did you get something? You got one thing or two things? Obey is good, right? Meditating on the word is good. Right? Honoring is good. We want to honor God. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up and we're going to praise God for success. We're all going to enjoy that success this year more than ever. Father, we want to thank you this day. For you're such a wonderful Lord. You give us people in our lives. We're so happy with who you set us up with. And you said we're not living by ourselves. We have people in our lives. And so, Father, we ask you to forgive us for walking away from what you've given us. So thank you today. We repent of turning away from you. And so we want to enjoy the success that you've given us. It belongs to me. And I want to thank you that everyone here who's put efforts into different things, they're going to ask themselves first, is that God, did God permit me? Does he permit me to do that? Is it what he wants me to do? Okay, I'm going to obey you, Lord. I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to meditate on your word and see that it actually belongs to me. I'll be successful in everything I do. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, you said that when we obey God, verse 6, 8, and 12 says that everything I touch will be successful. Everything I put my hand to will be successful. Everything I do, wherever I go, I'll have success. I'll be successful in another town. I'll be successful in the city or be successful in a countryside. I'll be successful wherever I go. I'm going to bring that with me. Nothing can take it out of me because you put that in me. I'll have spiritual success over every demonic force and everything that would hinder me. I'm having spiritual success. I have success in my house, in my finances, in my personal goals, job, work, whatever it is, finances. So we claim that. We say that. It belongs to me. And I thank you for it this hour and this day. We give you praise and we thank you. Let's go ahead and praise him. Lift that hand up if you can and begin to thank him. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We thank you for all that you said we will do. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. Those of you that are watching online, we're going to ask you to follow. Find a good church. Find a good pastor. Find one. Find anyone at the moment. Go to one that God showed you. Go there and serve there. And you'll see that God will lead you and he'll direct you. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. If you've been away from God, say, God, forgive me. I'm coming back home. And he'll wash you with his blood. Goodbye. We'll see you next time. This is brought to you by Faith City Church. See you later.